Hello, welcome to the Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 58. I'm sure all of you have heard of Ted Bundy. If not, then well, he is a well-known serial killer that was active from 1974 through 1978. He confessed to 30 murders, some listed as 35, 36, as more accurate. Some believe his number is even higher, like some claim up to 100. But he done all this in 7 different states, and he would get the death sentence in Florida, and he would end up getting the electric chair on January 24th, 1989. This episode is not about Ted Bundy and his crimes, because there's so much more out there and all of that, you know, documentaries, movies, other podcasts and all that. But instead, I will discuss the Ted Bundy, the ghost, as you notice in the title of the episode. I will break down each place I could find that has reported sightings of the man himself. And most of you know, I've been a paranormal investigator for almost 11 years, and I won't say I'm an expert in the field, but I'll give my opinion on each Ted sighting. So the first place we're going to go to is the prison. And they say Ted Bundy, you know, haunts the Florida prison. They claim he is terrorizing prison guards and inmates at the prison. And 2001, a guard claims several of them saw Ted's ghost shortly after he was put to death. And several of them reported seeing his ghost sitting casually in the electric chair. And he would smile at them, and when one of the guards would try to approach him, he'd disappear. And I guess it got so bad that it was hard to find anyone willing to enter the execution chamber due to the sightings. And supposedly these guards have been told they'd be fired if they spread the rumor of Ted's ghost. Even some of the guards would quit because of being scared of it. Another report said he would show up near his cell and would tell guards, "Well, I beat all of you, didn't I?" I'm assuming he would vanish after this, and I believe what he said was meaning towards the afterlife. But in May 2013, another report would surface, and this would come from an inmate, and the inmate would state, "For many years, I have heard the rumors of Ted Bundy's ghost appearing, and I didn't believe it. Now my mind has changed. I and other residents have witnessed the ghost on many occasions. It is definitely Bundy. It comes in the early morning before dawn in our housing and in different cells. He's always smiling. It's a white-blue mist, but very detailed. Some of the other residents claim to hear him talking. I have not heard that yet." The inmate also basically asked how to get rid of Ted Bundy's ghost. There are other rumors that Ted has invited some former buddies to hang out. Could one of those buddies be serial killer Robert Joe Long that I covered on episode 21? I began writing Robert in November 2013, but he's from West Virginia, not too far from where I live, but he'd done all of his killings in Florida. But he had mentioned to me about knowing Ted in prison, so this kind of sparked my interest, so I wrote him, you know, reply to that letter and saying, "Hey, do you know anything about Ted's ghost?" And his response was this: "I've heard and read the bullshit about Ted B haunting Florida State Prison where I was with him for about 7 years, and that's all bullshit. Never heard nothing about it over there," meaning Florida State Prison, "only from outside sources, which should tell you all you need to know about it. I spent 8 years in that rat hole and never heard nothing about this haunting. From 1985 through 1992, only from outside sources. I knew Ted very well. He was my handball and volleyball partner on the yard when we had the same yard." So I wrote another inmate as well. There's a podcast actually featured on him, and it talked about him knowing Ted. Well, I mentioned that he ever experienced Ted's ghost. He never really gave me an answer, but if he does, I will, you know, write a blog or something about it, updating on that. But my opinion on this for the prison aspect of it, like I said, prison was a bad time for Ted. His energy still could have left an imprint there, though. And at times it seems like a residual haunt, while also an intelligent haunt, because he's, you know, supposedly talking to the guard, so he's seeing them. You know, intelligent haunts were basically the spirits interacting with what's there. A residual haunt, you know, it's going to happen whether people witness it or not, you know, like even if they don't witness nobody. But with him talking to the guards, like, that sounds intelligent. But if his ghost does haunt the prison, is he just being a cocky to the people that knew him up to his last days on Earth? Because everything I've read on him, he seemed to be very kind of cocky, had a very good sense of humor and stuff, just like a smart-ass type sense of humor. And I know, like I said, Robert stated it was all bullshit, but talking to him, he seems to be more of the skeptic towards the paranormal field and just the whole belief and all that. So a lot of people are, which is nothing wrong with that. But it's very possible, I believe, that Ted haunts the prison. But then again, what if he doesn't and people are just trying to make a story that Ted Bundy still lives? You know, to be a part of the whole Ted Bundy story, be like, "Well, I saw a ghost." You know, you're part of the Ted Bundy story. It keeps it going. It's good good story for the media. But the next place we're going to go to is Ted Bundy's childhood home. But a man bought the home in Washington State with plans to fix it up. He had no clue of the history. The house was built in 1946, and that was the year Ted Bundy was born. And Bundy's family would not move there until 1955. A contractor would bring his 11-year-old daughter to the house, and he claimed she started crying and just felt weird. She seemed not to like it there. And he would return with the demolition crew the next week, and they would claim the house didn't feel right either. And the reports started coming in from the crew as followed. Every door, cabinet drawer were all open even after nobody was there, and the outside doors were locked. One time, the workers were cleaning up the flooded basement, and the words, "Help me," was written on the glass. A heavy dresser upstairs somehow was pulled out and landed face down, and supposedly the crew was downstairs at the time. Cell phones, other devices were getting plugged and immediately die. The word "leave" was found written in the sheetrock dust with no footprints around it. And the contractor would ask around about if any break-ins had happened in the area. And that's when he found out it was, you know, the famous Ted Bundy childhood home and that Ted had lived there. And two pastors would come and bless the house. And I assume the hauntings quit and the work was able to be finished. The new owners haven't made a public statement if they have experienced anything. My opinion on this haunting is the haunting in this childhood home seemed a little too much for me, because I'd like to learn if there were any experiences before this man bought the house to resell it, because Ted has mentioned his childhood was good and he didn't kill anyone as a child while living in this home, and the prison reports are not much of anything, while the house seems to have a darker tone to the hauntings. Like I said, the prison is just, you know, we see his ghost, he talks to us, he vanishes, stuff like that, and this is like a darker tone, like the word, you know, "leave," "help me," and all that. Like, it's more sinister, I think, to an aspect of it. But then again, it might not be, you know, sinister, but it just seems like, say, like a darker tone. And is it made up? You know, did they know Ted lived in the house and they said they didn't? Or what if something else haunts the house? Like, something that was there before? You know, it's just the land itself haunted. And it could have just been Ted playing some ghostly pranks on the crew. You know, like I said earlier, he had a sense of humor. I'm sure he's going to have a sense of humor in the afterlife. The next place we're going to go to is the Chi Omega sorority. And I only found one report with it, and it comes from the victims he murdered that night. Some feel that Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy, some feel that their ghosts may still walk the halls, and some even believe their ghosts prevented other sisters from walking out of their bedrooms in the Harm Way that fateful night back in the late 70s. I haven't found much else on the place, but it said that Ted was seen in there as well. Not sure if it's just him walking the hallways in the rooms. So I kind of wonder if this could be like a residual haunt, like just that whole dark thing that happened that night, you know, where he walked in, killed two of them, like just the whole aspect of it. If that's just left a dark imprint on that building. And, that's basically my opinion on it, because like I said, I could see him haunting it and, like I said, just leaving the residual haunt because it's something, it's such a traumatic event that took place. See, the next place we go to is the Tallahassee House. And he rented a room here, and there are reports of him being seen on the porch. I couldn't find any details of his reports, though, so I don't have a lot to go off on. Just basically, he's on the porch. I don't know if he's sitting on the porch. He could be smoking a cigarette on the porch. I have no clue. And this also could be, my opinion, not more of a residual haunt as well, since, like I said, his energy was imprinted there, unless he might, you know, he might acknowledge the individuals that see him, you know, so it goes along with the sorority house. So, the next place we go to is the University of Puget Sound. This one I kind of shook my head on a lot. I'm not disclaiming anything they say, but they call this the Teddy the Friendly Ghost, or Best Dead Friend Forever, is what Ted is known there. One student said she knew he killed a lot of women, but he seemed to have calmed down since his death, and she included him a great friend. Supposedly he'd try to hug people and give them massages. Usually this would only occur if you were walking home alone from the bar. And apparently they have communicated with him through an Ouija board. He did not like his nickname. One session, he would say, "I cannot touch them, so many to kill, and I cannot touch them. It is my hell." One boy said Ted was crazy to party with, especially if girls were dancing, and supposedly through another Ouija board obsession, Ted would state, why is God this cruel, meaning towards the party, you know, where you can't supposedly kill these physical living being girls. There's also a dance named after him called the Bundy. It's where you wrap your arms around someone's neck while grinding to the music. And one other interesting Ouija board session, it was asked what Ted wanted to do in the future. Excuse me. And supposedly it was to go to Wisconsin to tee up with Jeffrey Dahmer's ghost because Jeff was able to haunt areas as well. And supposedly Ted would say this to the Ouija board, that's where the big time killing is. Okay, my opinion on this is, like I said, I shook my head a lot on this. But his sighting, like I said, could be true at the university since it was a place Ted had attended earlier in his life. And same thing, like I said earlier, his energy could have been left there as an imprint. If the hugging, massaging reports are true, then it would fall under the intelligent haunting since he interacts with people. And I'm not doubting their claims with the Ouija board, but me personally, I'm not a believer in that they work. And the responses they were getting was kind of just the obvious things someone might expect a dead serial killer to say. And the whole Jeffrey Dahmer thing in itself is just iffy to me, but hey, it could all be true that, you know, it all could be true. You know, maybe Ted and Jeffrey's teaming up in the afterlife to kill something, I guess. I don't know. We're going to talk about mediums here. This is the last thing that I was able to find through researching. Mediums have claimed to channel Ted, and it was reported that Ted was interested in redeeming himself by helping to solve murders. And I have not found any source where Ted Bundy has helped on any murder investigation yet. So, yeah, take it the way you want. Like my opinion on it, like, I won't say I don't believe in mediums, but I do and I don't. Like, I believe some of them are real, and I feel a lot of fake ones are out there. But this medium that reported of Ted wanting to redeem himself could be true for sure, but the obvious choice to say, hey, Ted wants to redeem himself, he was already trying to do that in a way to help keep himself alive anyways because he was assisting in giving information and advice on Gary Ridgway, a.k.a. the Green River Killers case. So you know what I mean? Like, the medium is basically just going off of stuff that he was doing already, that he was trying to stay alive, you know, not really redeem himself, but just basically try not to die. So he was like, hey, I'm useful. Use me. I asked Kevin Sullivan about Ted Bundy's ghost. If you don't know who Kevin Sullivan is, well, he's an author of many Ted books. They are entitled The Bundy Murders, The Trial of Ted Bundy, and The Bundy Secrets. And he's working on a fourth book as well about Ted Bundy. So if you want to check that out, they should be available on Amazon. But he stated, though, he had seen some of the reports, but to him, he doesn't believe Ted is hanging around. I asked Catherine Ramsland. She was featured on one of the Roland episodes where I read her opinion on the poems. And she also wrote a really amazing book. She helped the BTK killer, Dennis Rader, write it. It's an amazing book. But I asked her about Ted's ghost as well, and she had heard the rumors, but, you know, like with anybody else, don't know if the sightings are true or not. But it all comes down to what you believe in, what involves the afterlife. So ask yourself this, is Ted still haunts some of these locations? Or are all these just fake sightings to help keep the dark memory of one of the most well-known serial killers alive in the media?